Today, we're talking about 5 unmistakable habits that reveal that you're an INFJ. If you're still struggling to figure out if you're an INFJ or not, if it really holds you back from really tapping into it completely, then this video might be exactly what you need. Because the habits we're going to talk about today may not even be something that you do on a daily basis, but they definitely are habits that you've done over your lifetime if you're an INFJ. This has not only happened to me, this has happened to absolutely every INFJ that I've talked to, or there are things we continuously do or have done in the past. So let's dive into those 5 unmistakable habits that reveal to you that you're an INFJ. Before we get started, if you are at a point in your life where you know you're ready for that transformation to not only create an INFJ epic life, but really tap into it day after day starting now, then definitely check out the free poster on the INFJ Epic Life formula. And if you want to take it to the next level, then get the INFJ Epic Life audio guide. It will guide you to everything you need to know. It will reveal all those hidden gems that are keeping you from finally taking that last necessary step to transform your life the way you always wanted to. Everything you need to know, you can find in the links in the description. Habit number 1, you think in mindset solutions when it comes to others. So let's say you have a friend who's going through a breakup or they have some kind of family problem. If you see what's going on there, you're probably not going to go over there and say, "Can I make you a tea? Can I help you out? What can I do to make you feel better in that moment?" It's not that we don't do that or that we're not good at this, but the thing that is particularly INFJ-like is the fact that we talk to that person from a perspective of how can you change your entire approach to the situation? How can you change your mindset around this? Are you going to change the situation you're in, or are you going to change the way you think about it? Because at the end of the day, we all know it's going to be the same discussion over and over again. And if you really want to change something about a situation, you really have to change how you feel about that situation or what you surround yourself with. And that is what comes to mind to an INFJ at first glance. You'll see it with other types. They will want to make you comfortable. They would want to distract you. They would want to uplift you. And that is their main thing. Our main thing is the mindset change. It's the mindset transformation. So think about it. If you have a friend in need, if you have somebody who looks up to you and wants some kind of help, what kind of help are you giving them? What kind of help do you want to give them? What is the first thing that comes to mind? If it really is about, okay, change your mindset around this, remove yourself from the situation, it is really more of a holistic approach to the entire situation, and it really boils down to mindset work, then you're probably an INFJ. Habit number 2. You leave get-togethers rather early. So there are 2 ways INFJs approach this. So let's say you go to a dinner party or a little get-together, right? It's not some overwhelming amount of people, but it's still a time and a space where you connect with others, where you talk to others, where you really share a space. And INFJs very much love this situation if it isn't too many people, if it's people that you really care about, and if you allow yourself to really dive into that conversation. And INFJs have really this up and down dynamic that is happening. So at first, we get really intrigued. We really want to tap into this. It makes us feel so good. It energizes us. But before we know it, we're tapped out. We really want to leave the situation. And you'll see some INFJs stay in the situation but feel bad, like they don't feel comfortable, but they would feel even worse leaving because they would feel so guilty towards others, or it would be so weird to just say, "I want to go," after half an hour. Other INFJs have gotten to the realization where they recognize, yeah, this might be weird, but the truth is, I don't feel good after that time and I want to leave. Like, I am leaving now. And the more you actually get to a place where you have recognized this about yourself, you've accepted this about yourself, the more you'll recognize how the people in your life will be more accepting of this, right? Because they don't have another choice. If they want to hang out with you, those are just the dynamics that they have to get used to. And I've seen this in my life over and over again, of feeling guilty about it. But the more it became like, that's what I'm doing, I don't feel good, I'm gone, the more they got used to it. They stopped nagging me about it. They stopped asking me to stay longer, and they've just accepted that. And then it's on them to decide, is this something I want to deal with or not? And you'll be surprised how many people will actually really be okay with that because they enjoy that time and that energy that you're giving them, even if it was just for that short period of time. And then you might say, okay, but isn't this a habit of introverts that we get exhausted by social interactions and want to leave a situation early? Yes and no. Most people that I actually hang around with are introverts, and I still feel this way, and I'm still the first one who wants to leave. And I'm talking to INFPs, I'm talking to ISTPs. Like, there is just something about putting our energy forward because we see that direct connection with others. So let's say you haven't been in contact with your friends for a while, and then you hang out with them and you exude all of that energy. You see how that's mirrored back to you, how you really put joy into the conversation and excitement. It really encourages you to do even more of that. And before you know it, it has just been maxed out. And so this is one of the things that I've just seen, not only through me, but also, you know, having worked with so many INFJs throughout the years, that this is one of those unmistakable habits that will tell you, yeah, I am an INFJ. Habit number three, you have or you've had the urge to explain yourself over and over again. So this is something that so many INFJs struggle with, and this is definitely something I struggled with for the majority of my life. But it's also not something that has to be your reality forever, because I've gotten to a place where I really barely explain myself because I just have found other ways to really let out who I truly am. As INFJs, one of our biggest hurdles in life is the fact that we feel misunderstood, that we feel like we have to explain to people that we have good intentions, that there's reason to our madness. And we want to explain it to others because we want to feel like they're getting us. But more than that, we want to have the feedback of, you are a good person, you are a smart person, you have great ideas. And as long as we're looking out for that, we're always going to want to explain ourselves, because the truth is, nobody will really get you the way you are. But what is the solution then? Is the solution that we just have to accept that we have to feel like we're misunderstood all our lives? And this is what it boils down to for a lot of INFJs, that they feel like, I only have those two choices. I'm either going to try to explain myself, and maybe if I'm lucky, I'll find that one person, or, you know, those two people in my life, or whatever it may be, but definitely a small amount of people who will get me. Or I just have to completely feel like I'm misunderstood, I'm different, and no matter how much I would try to explain myself, nobody would get it. There is a third solution, trust me, because I've experienced this agony myself, and I know how hard it is. I know how hurtful it is. The point is to really start living the way like you wouldn't have to explain to anybody anything. If you get to a place where you say, no matter how much I try to explain it, people are not going to get it. There is a reason why we're so afraid of this judgment. We're afraid of it because we have conditioned ourselves from an early childhood age on that the only way people are going to accept us is if we alter ourselves, if we become what they want us to be, if we become the mirror to what they want to, you know, project onto us. And so now, when we're adults and we're really longing for connection, which comes from our truest essence, it doesn't come from the fact that we understand others so well, but it comes from the place that you are feeling seen, that you are feeling understood. It so often feels like we have to justify it, we have to explain it, we have to give some kind of reason for our action. But the truth is, you don't have to give any explanation whatsoever. If you get to a place where you really know, I rather be disliked for who I am than to be liked for who I'm not, you're going to start living life differently. You're going to start living in a way where you make yourself proud, where you do things and where you say things that you like, that, you know, light you up, that make you feel excited about life. And you stop looking left and right if people understand you. Because you're never going to get that understanding from others the way you want. You will get it from yourself. Once you start living your life and your life becomes a representation of who you are, without looking left and right if people are going to understand it, they will accept it or not. But it will be on them. It's not on you anymore. And it really changes your entire approach. And the best thing about it is you will never ever feel misunderstood again. You will never ever feel like you have to explain yourself. It's not that people will understand you better. It's not even that you explain yourself better. It's just that you won't care. You will feel understood. You feel like you're explaining yourself by the way you're living your life and you're not questioning it. And you'll see how the dynamics with the people in your life will change. You'll see how some people will move out of your way and some people will get closer. Because for the first time, you're actually showing who you truly are. Knowing that, yeah, some people will judge it. Some people will think it's totally weird. But at the same time, it will inspire others. And you'll see that once you start that transformation in your life, it's not only you who's going to be transformed, but your entire life, the way you see reality, and through that, also all the dynamics you have with the people in your life. Habit number 4, you have obsessed over a romantic interest for a long period of time. Yes, this might not sound like an INFJ thing at first. You've heard this before, people, you know, being obsessed with somebody for a longer period of time. But, you know, after having talked to so many INFJs throughout, you know, the life of this channel and, you know, being a coach and so on, this is something that is very much an INFJ thing because we obsess in a very particular way. When we obsess over a romantic partner, we do this because it seems like a solution to our life. So many INFJs have had, you know, obsessions over people who live in a different country, in a different state, on a different continent. There is a pattern behind this. We do this because it allows us to imagine a world that is better than our reality. All of those obsessions are always based on people that we cannot have. Because if they were in our lives, if they were somebody that we could, you know, have a life with, there is no need for an obsession. And there's also no imagination of something that, at the end of the day, is all an illusion. If we obsess over somebody, what we really obsess over is how we would be in their presence, how we would feel if we would really dive into their way of experiencing reality. And why are we doing this? We're doing this because it seems so real to us. As INFJs, we have a really hard time distinguishing between what is in our mind and what is in reality. Because the things in our mind are already creating such strong emotions in us. They can, you know, make us feel alive. They can make us feel joyful. They can bring us into agony way more than, you know, what is really going on in reality. And when it comes to interpersonal relationships, specifically romantic interests, this is psychologically the closest thing to that. And so all the things that we are not accepting about ourselves, we are projecting that onto that obsession, onto that romantic interest. And it works so well because they are at a distance, because we can imagine everything that could be, which definitely isn't what is. Otherwise, again, we wouldn't have that obsession. That person would be right next to us. So that experience over and over again throughout my life, and really at some point, like really taking it to an extreme where I just, you know, lost all sense of myself and was really, you know, really suffering, it really got me to a place where I understood I cannot give up so much of myself in hope that, you know, I will get my solution over there. But at the same time, it is also a mirror of everything that I want. All of those feelings that I'm feeling when I'm thinking about that person, that's something that is already within me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be feeling those things. And that was the moment I realized I have to create these emotions myself. What am I imagining when I think about tapping into their world? What is missing in my world that I think I would have over there? How can I create that feeling? And you'll see, yeah, it might not feel as intense as, you know, your thoughts, but it will be an anchor, and everything that comes into your life will add to that happiness, and it will be stable, and it will be yours. And that's when everything changes. And so that's why this is a habit that you might have or you might have had, because it's through that habit that we get to the realization that we can create this on our own, and that that obsession is a crutch. That obsession is something that is supposed to medicate our pain of not really living out our lives, because we feel we're not worthy, because we feel like we're not allowed to, because we feel like we're too much, or we're going to be unlovable if we really are who we are all the time. But you're not too much for the world. The world can take it. Tap into who you really are and start living it out in the real world. Voice who you are, show who you are, live it out, and you'll see how through that, your tendency towards those obsessions will gradually but definitely go away. Because now you recognize that you have the power to create all of those emotions in a positive and sustainable way yourself. It all starts with you. It's through your lens that you have those imaginations. So you can also project them not to that person anymore that is at the end just an illusion, because the real person is not next to you. The real person isn't the person that you would want in your life. It's who you want them to be. And once you recognize this, you also know that instead of projecting all of that power that you have towards others, that you can really put it into yourself and into your life and see how much of your potential you can actually live out. Habit number 5, you listen way more than you share. So when it comes to INFJs, we're extremely gifted and skilled at listening to others, because this is what we've learned to be hyper-focused on as kids. This is the way we, you know, managed to go through life. We understood what others wanted. We understood that being heard was really important to them, that their way of seeing the world was the only way we could connect with them. Because as children, we're in such need to be loved, to be accepted. And this is one of those skills that we're so good at. So of course, it's going to be our go-to technique to getting that connection and to getting that security. But now as adults, we really have to take a step back and understand that, yeah, this is going to be my tendency. I'm always going to listen more than I personally share, because I just don't care to share so much. And at the same time, we're surrounding ourselves with people who want to share with us because we're such great listeners. And if you really look at your life, you'll recognize that this is one of the things that really make you you. It's really one of those things that prove to you that you're an INFJ. There's so many types who are good listeners, who are there for others. And I've seen it with other types. They have so much more capacity for other people, for their suffering or for what they're going through. Like my mom is an ESFJ and she has so many more people reaching out to her with their pain than people are reaching out to me, because she really has capacity for so much, for understanding their emotions, for really being there for them and creating space for them. I don't have that capacity as an INFJ, but the capacity that I do have is to really make space for one person to be themselves as fully as they possibly can. And this is one of the things I see with INFJs over and over again. And so it doesn't mean that this is a habit we should stop doing. It's just something that we have to be aware of, because then we know, okay, I have the tendency to listen way more than I share, and this might not be in my best interest at all times. So it is a reminder to share more of what you like, what bothers you, what makes you uncomfortable, what is going on in your life, to just create more of a balanced connection with somebody. Because as much as we like to listen to another person, if we're not setting boundaries on that, it will be a constant, you know, sharing of information from the other side and us just listening and absorbing over and over again. And it really overwhelms us. And at some point, it doesn't feel good anymore. So it's not something that we have to let go altogether, but allow yourself to investigate if you're doing too much of it. And if you can bring yourself a little bit more to a place of sharing who you are, what you're experiencing, and then figuring out where a healthy balance for you lays. Because what we're not aware of is that the more we share from a place of this is what I'm experiencing, this is what I'm seeing, it really gets us to a more balanced and happy place. We are INFJs, we are introverts, but very often we go way too deep into it. That's that famous NITI loop. And to create a space where we feel excited about our life, where we feel connected, it is necessary to share our experience with the outside world one way or another. Remember, if you're at a space where you say, I'm ready to transform my life, I'm ready to get that INFJ epic life not only started, but really to bring it to the next level, then check out the poster on the INFJ Epic Life Formula. And if you want to take it even further and you're like, no nonsense, this is me now, I'm going to make it happen, then get the INFJ Epic Life audio guide. Everything you need to know, you can find in the links in the description. And if you want to watch another video now that is in alignment with today's topic, then check out the video you see on the screen right now. I'll see you in the next one. Bye, guys.